Oh, welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him, and I will be GMing tonight's game of Last Fleet with the following players, ...
My name's Becky Anderson. I'm going to be playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat. That's the Ares playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
I thought we were going to be doing this in Voices of Lord of the Rings characters, so you're going to do like a Scottish dwarf or something.
You can do Sam if you want.
What, from the tapes or the or radio play? You'd be like, oh, Mr. Frodo, like that.
No, from the movies, I think.
Oh, I don't know about that one. I'm not familiar with that.
I could do all of those voices, I'm pretty sure.
All right, well, you can do them throughout the evening. My name is Ed Tomlinson, and I'll be playing Dr. Tobias Roy, the Scorpio playbook, and our pronouns are he and him.
And my name is Nick Bate. I'm playing Commander Sam Buckley, Captain of the Hecate. My pronouns, he, him, his pronouns, he, him. Playbook is the Taurus.
And my name is Sue Elliott. I'll be playing Sonia Vega, the Gemini playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
And we're going to be playing Last Fleet, precious, aren't we?
I want you to keep that up.
That was good. That was Jar Jar Binks, right?
Yes, from the second Lord of the Rings movie.
No, Jar Jar Binks in the second Marvel movie.
Don't make me Phantom Menace storm off.
You also got the ring.
Take your 50p and get out.
He leans in to you and he says, look, we're going ahead with the plan. We're going to be heading straight up to the bridge. Once we've got control of Hecate, we can bring it alongside Agamemnon, and this whole business will be dealt with. But I think you should keep out of the way, Dr. Roy. You've been very helpful so far, but it really is going to be quite dangerous. There's a lot of things that could go wrong with this plan, so just keep your head down.
I just wanted to clarify to make sure there weren't any unnecessary casualties. I appreciate your straightforward answers.
Nobody wants a bloodless take over more than I do, believe me. And the Admiral's been very clear on that. I think I would like to know, Vega, whether you are going to be attempting, like, that was quite a surreptitious conversation. I want to know, like, I think in order to hear everything so far, you've maybe had to come to the top of the stair there. And I want to know whether you're going to risk getting caught in order to have heard what was just said.
Whether your giant clown shoes are sticking out again.
I mean, I have to know what's been said. I need to know.
I think you do, don't you? So what are we doing here? Are you seeking out, and maybe Dr. Roy's interfering, or maybe he isn't? Or is Dr. Roy covering up? It could be either of these, really.
I think you're... I'm being quiet, but I'm really under the control of the...
Yeah, cover-up feels like there needs to be active deception going on.
I think...
Whereas you guys are just talking quietly, aren't you? And I'm straining to hear.
Yeah, I'm seeking out myself, so it's almost like you're seeking out...
You know what? It's
out.
Neither of these. It's shake-off. That's what you're doing. You're shaking off a threat. Because, like, it's not like... We don't know what you're going to find, or that there's not anything between you and it, clearly. That none of the outcomes from those two moves apply, but shake-off does.
Okay, then. Roll plus hard.
Yes.
That's 8 altogether.
You going to modify that at all?
Nope.
Get some pressure back. Is that possible? No.
I'm not ready to max out my pressure yet, I don't think.
I think what happens is you can get close enough to hear the conversation, but somehow they notice you. Oh, I know what it is. I think you're very well hidden, but somebody sees, like, your reflection in something.
God damn all those space surfaces. So shiny.
I think there's, like, this one marine who's, like, super jumpy, who's, like, you can't see this because you're hidden around the corner, but he's kind of twitching. Like, he really wants this conversation to be over fast. And he's kind of pacing up and down as the conversation's happening. And he sees a bit of you reflected in something and goes over to look to see. And you can see him basically kind of go, hang on a minute.
I say, "Officer, where are you going? I thought we talked about going the original."
"There's someone here, sir." And he's shouldering his weapon in your direction.
I say, "Of course there are people here."
"What do you do, Vega?" You're currently, like, he hasn't got a good line of sight on you. There's a corner between you and him.
Yeah.
So you've got a moment in which you could maybe get away, or I don't know what you want to do.
I'm gonna say, "Don't shoot. Don't shoot. I'm coming out." And I put my hands up and turn the corner. And I say, it all happened so fast. Look, I didn't mean to escape from the brig. It just all happened. Please don't send me back there. Please. It's all been a horrible mistake. I promise I'll be a good prisoner. And I'm just trying to sound as panicky and as pathetic as possible."
"I think that's quite easy to do.
Comes naturally."
"Because they've all got guns and you don't." They all look at each other like, well, the guy who's in charge, I think he's probably a lieutenant, says, "We don't have time for this."
I say, "I agree. Look, let me deal with this. You concentrate on what you need to do."
"Or you're definitely trying to do something there. I think you are
being amazing.
Trying to cover up something serious."
"Yeah, I mean, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. I feel like I've just dug a worse hole for myself."
"Well, if you're successful, then you're basically, they'll just accept that you're going to take care of her."
"Oh, it's smooth, isn't it?"
"Yeah, so it's your strong suit for once."
"Yes." "All right, well, let's see. How did my pressure track go up so high so quick? I don't remember that. 7?
Oh, boy. Okay, so...
so I can't spend... I haven't got enough pressure."
I think the lieutenant looks unhappy and he says, "Jackson, you better stay with Dr. Roy."
"I spent my life being followed around by Marines."
"Deal with this situation, Dr. Roy. Jackson's gonna stay here and keep an eye. We need someone to watch the airlock anyway. Let's go." And the remaining Marines hot foot it up that stairwell.
Shit.
So that leaves the three of you in the corridor. One guy with his gun looking kind of jumpy.
He's left us with the jumpy guy.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? He's completely incompetent. Well, I was planning on going to my lab to drop off some samples. Are you all going to accompany me?
Sir, I thought we needed to take this civilian back to the brig. He looks a bit puzzled at you, like, actually, why have I been left here?
Yes. Well, these samples are the most important thing. Then we can do what we need to do with the prisoner. And then you can leave me in peace.
I think Sonia says, maybe I should just go back to the brig. I don't want to cause any trouble. And I shouldn't have left in the first place.
I think the soldier points his gun at you and says, "Quiet, you. You shouldn't even be here. We'll do whatever the doctor says."
Well, he looks at both of you and says, "Quiet. To the lab."
I think the Marine sort of prods you, Vega, in the direction that the doctor's going. Like, depending on how compliant you are, he'll be prodding you with his gun. This feels a little farcical now, but it's happening, so it's fine.
So, my lab was on the next floor up, did we agree?
I think so, yeah.
Right, so it's a short comedic shuffle, like the chain gang in the Woody Allen film.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I want to know, because these guys, you've just been told that they're heading up to the bridge. It's fairly obvious what they're going to do from everything they've said, and it won't take them long to get up there.
Yeah.
Presumably there is some sort of security up there, so it won't be a total disaster if you do nothing at all. But then again, they've got the element of surprise.
So I'm thinking the lab is the best bet, because there's probably some way of us overpowering this Marine in the lab. Right, that's my plan.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think I want to jump straight to that. I'd like to know what it is you're trying. Like, you've got your lab. You can tell me whatever you think is in there that you could use somehow to overpower a Marine.
Have I got a big bottle of anti-Corax cleaning agent?
Mr. Korax.
Bang! And the Korax is gone.
Sonia, can I just check what your hard stat is?
One. Hard one.
Ooh,
this is easy. This is an easy decision to make. Who's going to do this?
It was an advance I took.
Wow.
It's because Vega is a stone-cold legend.
I'm minus one hard. Despite all the calisthenics, I can't fight for shit.
I don't see how hard's going to help you, to be honest, because like, you don't really want to be rolling hard in this situation. You want to be, well, I don't think you really want to be rolling anything against a guy who's got a gun when you haven't.
A nervous guy with a gun.
Nervous guy with a gun. But anyway, I'd like to know what you can do. So we're going to skip forward to at whatever point in you going into the lab that something's going to happen, and I don't know what it is. You haven't got the anti-correct spray.
Oh, yeah. Hard weather, serious harm. We don't want to do that. What's my rule? Let me see what that is.
Poor, I'm guessing.
Probably.
It's funny how the non-combat characters keep ending up in combat-oriented scrapes.
Yeah, so I think I am going to... We're going to enter Lab A, right?
Right,
yep. Sonny doesn't even know that Lab B exists.
Right, exactly. I'm going to suggest to the Marine, high risk, that they secure the prisoner to a chair in Lab A. I'm then going to proceed to reveal Lab B, and I'm going to get the Marine to enter. Mind you, I'm just pretending it's got some sort of blast doors or something. I was going to try and lock the Marine into Lab B. That's my plan.
Yes, I understand.
Then leaving Sonya there and escaping in my own ejector. No, obviously releasing Sonya afterwards. Because the tying up the prisoner will gain his trust. Then we go into the second lab and then I double-cross him and lock him in.
Vega, are you going to be going along with all of this, or might there be an interrupt at some point?
I'm going to go along with it for now.
I mean, if you can come up with anything else, I'm open to suggestions. I can't work out a way of getting a gun to you.
I can't promise that I won't try and get out of these handcuffs.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. It's sort of a ruse, really. So, yeah.
So I think this is a cover-up role, again.
I mean, I guess I could secure Sonya to the chair.
That's not the important thing. The important thing is whether he realises that you're up to something.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, then you just slam the door and it's job done.
So broadly, that's the plan.
Right, roll to cover up.
Then I've got to deal with the fallout, which is smooth.
Smoothio.
It's a 6, and I'm definitely going to spend the pressure.
Right.
Does that help? Have we won? How am I was Little Book of Calm a couple of sessions ago. What's going on?
I think... What do you say to him to get him to go into this lab?
I hand him some samples and tell him, you know, if he's going to be around, he might as well make himself useful. I'm going to run the samples and I need a second pair of hands to speed things up.
Okay. So I think you tie Sonya up. You're on one of those wheelie chairs, so you can move around, but you're tied up. And you open up the lab. Sonya, you obviously see this. There's a whole nother lab behind the other one. What? This is a surprise.
I'm like, that's what that clicking noise was when I was last here.
Yeah, I turn around and sort of quietly shrug at you as
What can I say? I think the Marine sort of initially just nods when you give him the samples, and he walks right into the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's looking around a bit.
Has he put his gun down?
Well, he's holding the samples, so he's got the gun shouldered. Shouldered? Is that right? The right term? He's hanging on off his shoulder.
Okay. Must be heavy.
You can tell, there's a moment here, you can tell he's thinking something's up. Did you do anything?
I say, if you've got any doubts, it's perfectly safe. I can give you a hazmat. I won't get you near any of the hazardous chemicals. Like, I'm being breezy. Super breezy. Breezy 11.
Hazmat. Yeah, you know, I think that's a good idea. We didn't really have any training for this kind of thing. And he turns around and he walks out of the Lab B back into Lab A and puts the samples down. He says, yeah, hazmat, please. Now, I'm going to stop that there because I think it's clear that this is going to take a bit longer than you'd hoped for.
Shit.
And I think I want to go to the bridge because I want to know what's happening with Sam.
Well, I mean, I think we're in a tense wait on the bridge as we swing around the Agamemnon. You said we get a view of the Tychon in which we can see nothing but the Tychon, and the Tychon's firing its engines.
Correct.
So that's slightly troubling to me because I know that Loris and Minerva, that Hellcat Minerva, are over there. I mean, I think Sam would signal the comms officer to get Tychon on the line and ask for a situation report.
Yeah, okay. You had spoken to him before, hadn't you? You basically said, don't jump until I tell you to, and he'd got someone to spool up the junk engine. So you can talk to him, no problem. And at this moment, we know that Loris is on the bridge, don't we? So if you do that, then I think, Loris, you will hear Sam's voice come over the comm.
Oh, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think Sam probably says, because I was being friendly with him last time. Like, I wasn't being all Hecate actual. I was being Commander Buckley. So I'll say, Tychon, this is Buckley. How's it going over there?
Oh, I got to think of a snappy reply. I'll wait for the captain to say something while I think of a snappy reply.
Okay, sure. Captain's like, not great, to be honest, Captain B. Looks like we've got some trouble here. There's somebody trying to get on our back end and probably trying to get on board, but the pilot here is helping. Yeah, I don't know. How's it going, pilot?
He's my kind of captain.
So I think I'm going to just play a bit mischievous with the captains. It's not working. We're going to have to blow the engines with us.
Winter.
Whatever.
This comes over the radio, does it?
I'm really hoping it does. That was my plan.
Sure. Why not? Let's just say it's an open comm link. I think the captain just looks puzzled at you and says, I thought I told you I have no idea how to do that. I'm going to have to break the manual out.
I'm only joking.
Yeah, I think Sam, before you say I'm only joking, actually, Sam probably cuts through and says, Loris, is that you?
You finally dragged yourself out of sick bay, Sam. Captain, Sam, Buckley.
Shit. Nice. Yeah, do you know each other?
I think Buckley might cough down the line and then say, yes, Captain, we do know each other. Loris, what's your situation? Your real situation, I mean.
Loris is going to have the biggest smile on her face, by the way. So, like, she won't be hiding how pleased she is that Sam is up and about and that sort of thing. But obviously that's not going to be obvious over the comms, but Captain Winthers is going to notice. And she will say, I've got a transport trying to lock on and chew through the hull. Probably wants to spit about 10 Marines out. They're trying to get to a black spot on our sensors between the two exhausts. So I'm manoeuvring to make that really hard for them. But that's not going to last very long, Cap.
I think there's probably a tone mismatch here in the sense that Buckley hasn't been through all the last weeks or whatever of having been unconscious. And so he's probably sounding more businesslike than Loris looks in this kind of conversation. He says, right, that explains why we can't see them. We're not close enough for visual if they're between your engines. Look, I'm going to be honest with you, Loris. I don't know if we're going to be able to get there before they're boarding or dead. We're making best possible speed, but I don't want to split up the remaining fighters and the Hecate with the Agamemnon still. Well, can you handle it?
Absolutely, Captain.
Do I get any sense that when you say absolutely, Captain, that you're lying to?
100%.
Okay.
Does Winther realise that you're lying?
I hope not.
Okay.
I think likely not.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I'll follow up by saying, the civilian ship that I'm on has got a weapons locker. We'll be able to crack that open and repel those 10 Marines, no trouble.
I think there's a pause, and then Sam says, understood, Loris, we're on our way. And I'm going to cut the comm, and I'm going to... Is Catan still on the bridge, or did he launch? Is he in one of the fighters?
Catan left the bridge to go in one of the fighters.
Okay, so he's in the... All right.
So there were only three. There were only three, and now there's four.
Yeah, right. So there's four in the sky. I'm going to get Catan on the line, and I'm going to say, Catan, the situation's bad over there. They've got a boarding ship hovering around the engines. We can't see them from here. We can't risk them being boarded. Take one of your pilots and go. We'll hold the fort back here.
No.
Best possible speed.
You got it, Captain. And the two fighters very rapidly start hightailing it over. Now, I think we need to know what's happening with this lab, really. Mm-hmm. I think what down in the lab...
He just needed some reassurance, but once he's got the hazmat on...
Jackson is basically taking his sweet fucking time over putting this hazmat on. Because it's, you know, hazmats, they're quite difficult, aren't they? He's never had to put one on before. He's kind of farting around, and time is ticking away. You've probably got a wall clock or something that is, like, moving in fucking slow motion as this happens. You're looking at it going, what?
Okay.
Has he taken his gun off to put this suit on?
Yeah, I think he'll have to. I think he'll have to take the gun off and put it on the side next to him. Not necessarily in the most accessible place for one of you, but he will take it off.
Right, so I look at Vega, I look back at him, I say, look, let me help you put the hazmat on. This is I've told you several times now, Jackson, this time is of the essence. And I say, let me just adjust your helmet mask, hazmat mask thing. So I start like a teacher or something, or a parent adjusting like a school uniform or something, kind of slightly roughly and a bit annoyed. Right. So the mask is kind of going over his face and stuff to give Vega the opportunity to grab the gun.
Vega's tied up.
Is she though?
So have we established that Dr. Roy is the one who...
Well, that's why I wanted to clarify, and you brushed over it. So I did. So there we go.
Well, I'll tell you what.
flashback.
I think I will make this a shake-off roll, and I think Dr. R can assist. So if it goes badly, maybe it's because you just got tied up too well, not by Dr. R. Maybe if it goes well, it means you can just sort of throw off the fate bonds. There's no flashbacks in this.
Oh, yeah, but we've got like 1,000 bonds, so it's fine.
You do have good relationships.
So. Plus two, right?
To assist, yeah.
So I'm rolling shake off.
Yeah.
Right.
The doc can assist you.
So do I roll? I roll to assist. Sorry, I'm completely forgotten. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
With plus two.
Well, with warm or relationship, whichever is higher.
I doubt warm's more than two. It isn't, is it?
Fuck.
Oh, no, come on.
What did you roll? Oh, what?
It's like this. I should have dealt with this by now, for goodness sakes.
I'm on a five at the moment.
Oh, God.
This is so bad.
Six plus two is eight.
So you're on a what? Six. Five.
I'm on five.
So you can give Vega plus one, but Vega, you would have to pop your pressure to get it to above a six.
Well, I definitely got an idea of what happens in the next few minutes if we do overcome this, which may facilitate that.
Let's do it. Let's spend that pressure.
Woo-wee, Tiger.
Boom.
And where are you at now, Vega?
Oh, I'm at breaking point now.
Yay.
First time.
Yay!
Party poppers.
About time.
Okay.
Right, so have we done it? We've
no,
won.
Because you've only rolled a 7 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I think...
Oh, and you get to choose, don't you?
Yeah, I think you grab the gun, but he grabs the gun too. And you're left struggling over it. Now, I'm just going to say, this... time has been ticking away. I probably should have started a clock or something. But I'm now going to let you know that if there were a clock, it would be like three marks up and one left to go. So
this is a do or now or never, right?
What are you going to do? Are you, like, you need to do something, or don't do something, and then I will move on with what's going on at the bridge.
How could you roar?
I am not letting go of this gun. I am putting up the fight of my life here.
And I'm gonna tighten the grip on the mask around the back of his head to try and effectively do a suffocate maneuver at the same time.
Okay. Well, what I will say is you need to roll. You need to finish this in one. Otherwise, you'll have missed your opportunity to do whatever I presume you're planning to, like, warn the people on the bridge or something.
No, we're just going to make our escape. No, yes, of course, we're going to let the people on the bridge. Of course,
so I'm just letting you know that if you fluff this roll, then you will have missed your opportunity. That you could, Dr. R, you could try and go and warn them and leave Vega to handle this guy. And then you'd be taking a risk, but you would definitely get the message to the bridge.
No, I'm going to stick with Vega.
Okay, I don't like the way you've been rolling so far tonight, so let's just find out what happens. I think you're rolling to engage in battle, that's what I think you're doing. You've both got a weapon.
So I'm assisting your engage in battle, right?
That's the way I read this.
Oh,
don't tell me your roar's as bad as mine.
Oh, I don't even know. my roar is zero.
Okay.
Should be fine.
It's fine. It's been going fine.
You've
so
been rolling
far.
Really well.
I mean, it could be my roar, and then you could assist me, in which case I've got one pressure to burn if we're playing the game, but I don't really think it's... I feel like I am assisting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Right, let's just do it.
I can't leave Vega to get shot.
11!
I'm so excited! Yes!
When it matters.
Well, like, that means I don't need to assist and I can rush to the comm and go... Bing bong!
I guess that means that you shoot him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a few seconds of frantic struggling and then a bang.
Yes, and it's one of those seconds where you're not sure who's been hit.
Yeah. Nice.
And then you see the big circle missing out of the marine.
I mean, I also hasten to add I'm close enough to touch him and I assume he's a Korax. Just to wedge that move in.
Hold that thought.
I mean, I might get more insight into the plan, is all I'm thinking.
Your plan?
The plan.
The plan doesn't need more insight. The plan needs fucking up by you warning the bridge.
Well, yes, of course I'm going to do that as well, but...
Not licking a mushroom and having a little vision in between times.
Well, you're allowed to do that when you're mysterious. Okay, I rush to the intercom. And say, I shout Sam down the intercom.
I'm assuming the comms person lets me know.
I assume that there's some sort of ability to just send through an emergency call. It's much more fun.
Yeah, okay.
Roy's panicked voice comes over the comm.
Do you sound panicked when you shout the...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I've been in physical sort of combat. That's like very upsetting for...
Yeah, yeah. Roy. Understandable. So I think Sam just says... Back over the comm. Dr. Roy, what's the matter?
The Marines. There are Marines from the Agamemnon. They're heading up to the bridge. You must prepare yourself. They're nearly there. Hurry.
I don't think Sam will say anything else to Roy. He has something he's going to ask him later if we get through this. I think I just spin around. Is Enrique here? He was coming.
Yeah, I guess so. It would be a bit rubbish if he turned up after this, wouldn't it? although that would also be quite funny. So let's say that he's arrived and you haven't really had your conversation about...
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to... Yeah.
...any of that stuff.
Yep,
he's just sort of tensely watching.
Yep. So I think Buckley will just, as soon as Roy says that, we'll just spin around and point at the hatch to the bridge and say, seal that. Who's armed? And I expect the bridge officers who are carrying weapons to call out that they are.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, would folk on your bridge have sidearms?
I don't know that necessarily...
they might do in the current.
Yeah.
Like, considering what's gone down recently, they might do.
I just don't know, right? Because I've just come back up to the bridge after being in medical.
I think. I don't know that everybody is just carrying weapons.
No.
Because like, there's not like there's going to be some sort of surplus of weapons that you can just hand them out to anybody. But I bet you there's a weapons locker or like a cache of a couple of guns on there for this type of situation. So I think you can break those out. And I think Enrique, he's come up from the brig, so he maybe doesn't have one on him. But the watch sergeant will have a weapon.
Okay, so when I ask who's armed, I get the watch sergeant only.
Plus the weapons that are...
Yeah. Plus there's a weapons locker, yeah, okay.
I mean, I think Enrique's probably just gone straight to the weapons locker the moment that you say that.
Yep. And is somebody sealing the hatch?
Yeah, someone's moving to the hatch and then you hear gunfire.
Yeah, okay. See, I've got that move. I don't think there's any way in which Sam doesn't go over to Enrique...
And stand in front of him, get shot.
No, but grab one of the weapons from the weapons locker with him.
Yep.
And go to the door. Go to defend the door.
Yeah.
I don't think Sam is the kind of guy who just says, "You there, comms officer, hold the door."
I mean, obviously, this is a situation in which Picard ends up with a rifle somehow. Yeah. It's just like the way it works, right?
So it's probably me and Enrique and the watch sergeant with a pistol or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's just enough space around the door to kind of take up a defensive position there. And you can see that there's a bunch of Marines lined up outside in their own defensive positions trying to pick you off. Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find information about Last Fleet and all the rest of our stuff in the show notes. If you like what we do, then we'd really appreciate it if you shared the podcast on social media or gave us a review, preferably a 5-star one, as that really helps people to find the podcast. See you next time. I played whatever FIFA is called now earlier today. Raffy was feeling sad, so I said, do you want to play a game together? And he, for some reason, decided that he wanted me to play this game while he directed me from the background. And I won 3-1.
I still think it's called FIFA.
It's not called FIFA anymore. It's called something else.
The new 2024 version is not called FIFA, but our version is still called FIFA.
It's not even 2024.
Yeah, I know, but it's out.
It's whatever... It's a football game. I mean, what the fuck? Who cares? It's just like little guys running around, kicking a ball.
On the little legs.
Sometimes I get to score. So.
Yeah, sensible soccer has never really been beaten in terms of football simulators.
Is that right?
That's the best. That's the pinnacle.
I thought FIFA was quite good insofar as I don't really give a shit about football, but it felt like a just about interesting to play.
Do you think that we might lose listeners for that?
Yeah, I was going to say, he said that on the pod. In this country.
Well, I don't have to put that in the stinger, so I can always... I'll just put the bit where we're talking about the TV we've watched instead.
The last sports video game I played was NHL 1997, I think. Hmm. And my brother and I played it a lot. And it had a particular glitch in it where goalkeepers couldn't put their hands above their heads. And if you launched
that's
a shot,
like quite a big glitch.
If you launched a shot from exactly the right point on the halfway line, it would sail over the keeper's head every single time. So when Bill and I used to play it, like our games would be 37-35, kind of played entirely around the halfway line.
Yeah, we played the old Sega Mega Drive version of that.
Mm.
We used to just like trying to get them to fight each other.
Yeah, well, it's hockey.
Blood Bowl computer game was quite good fun in that it was just Blood Bowl but with graphics.
Mm. And then they started trying to sell team packs and trying to make money off it.
Outrageous.
Oh, I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, so I think they did one, and then I think they did it so they released it with like you would buy the Blood Bowl with humans and orcs or something, and then you would have to buy each team type that you wanted to play.
That sounds like a very Games Workshop approach.
Yes.
I have to warn you that the more we talk about this, the more likely it is that that bit where I talk about football ends up in the stinger. So I'm just saying.
Keep going, keep going.
Well, I'm just wondering what the crossover between role players and football fans is. Flip right in.
Angrily complain.
We should clarify, because I don't know what percentage of our listeners are American, that we mean soccer.
Yes.
Or Australian, for that matter.
Is that right?
Yeah, we don't call it football.
What do you call it?
Soccer.
What do you have that's football?
Aussie rules.
Aussie rules.
And is that like rugby?
No.
Now, this could result in complaints.
Okay. Do you pick up statement. In Aussie rules football, do you pick up the ball and with your hands and run
yes,
with it?
Yes, but you don't run with it like rugby.
Oh.
You don't, because you don't have any sleeves, so it's more aerodynamic.
How do you run with it if you don't run with it
like
rugby?
Well, you can only run, I can't remember if it's 10 metres or something like that, with the ball without touching the ball to the ground.
Yeah, they bounce it. That's
and so
right,
you
yeah.
bounce it usually.
Wow,
bounce
that must be hard.
Does it look like a
referee?
Rugby ball?
Yeah.
It's shaped like a rugby ball, yeah.
Whoa, I wouldn't have bounced that thing. It'll go off in all sorts of weird directions.
Well, that's the thing. It's very hard to do. I mean, they're very good at it. But
yeah. Are you allowed to just stoop down, touch the ground?
You can, although that slows you down. So, you know.
Well,
do you do a combat roll with
the ball going off in a random direction?
If you're a professional footballer and you bounce the ball wrong, then that's you're just begging to be jeered off the pitch.
Yeah. It's your only job.
Yes. Bounce a strange-shaped ball, that's it.
I don't want to be snobby about a sport that I don't care about in comparison to another sport I don't care about. But whenever I hear Aussie rules football, I assume that there is no professional version, because it sounds so much like
Dude.
A thing that you do play down your village
God.
Green.
What are
you, know
you
what I mean?
Saying, Josh? We just
it's
lost
it's
a
definitely a professional
lost
sport.
About 20%.
Just what
lost
it sounds like. That's just what it sounds like. It sounds like it's like, oh, come on, let's play Aussie rules, mate.
It's definitely not like soccer, but good Aussie rules footballers can command million-dollar salaries in Australia.
Wow.
I mean,
you
it's not.
Afford sleeves, but they can't.
Or shorts that fit rather
yeah,
than.
Yeah, very tight-fitting shorts. That's what I remember.
So, continuing the theme of me making statements about things I don't care about, it seems to me I don't understand why American football is called American football, because it does seem like you mostly don't kick the ball. And it sounds like Aussie rules football is kind of somewhat taking away from the kicking of the ball. I'm not quite clear. Exactly
I mean, it's not
how much.
You do a lot of kicking, because
you do.
It's played on a cricket pitch.
Oh yeah, of course. Why not?
and famously, you kick the ball in cricket when it's been bowled to you.
No, but yes. Can you imagine if you had to run it from one end to the other of a cricket pitch every time? You don't. You kick it.
I don't have any sense of how big a cricket pitch is.
You mean when you say run it? You mean run it from the boundary?
Yeah, from one boundary to the other.
Okay, because I was going to say cricketers routinely run the little bit in the middle, and that's quite normal.
They don't play on the tiny bit in the middle of a cricket pitch.
So I was trying to clarify.
Does Aussie rules cricket exist? Do you kick the ball in Aussie rules cricket?
No. Oh, although man. I often thought that you could, like, if you're going to – I love test cricket. And as it gets ever shorter, I get ever more annoyed with it. So don't love one-day cricket. Can't really tolerate 2020 cricket, but I think if you're gonna make it smaller than that, like that, just to keep everybody's attention, then why not just shake the whole thing up and add some designated screeners? So you've got two batsmen out there, and then you've got two free running players whose job it is to tackle fieldsmen to stop them from.
And then you have spiked elbow, shoulder pads, and elbow pads, and helmets, and then they charge at each other.
Just throw in some horses.
Horses, yeah, some chariots. Chariots. So I like your thinking.
Why don't we make that cricket ball packed with explosives?
I feel that would lead to very short games.
Well, I mean, you would want to bat that thing as far away from you to the boundary line as you possibly could before it explodes.
You're joking. Have you ever played Blood Bowl, Becky?
Me? No, I've sat and watched you play it, though.
So in Blood Bowl, you do get random events, and one of the potential random events is an exploding ball. And the exploding ball will, go off randomly in certain circumstances, presumably killing one of your players.
Yeah. Now, in this game, I imagine that the bowler has a bandolier of balls, and you don't know when they've
AKA
pulled the safety.
It's like the Russian roulette version of cricket.
Yeah.
Russian Aussie rules cricket.
Russian rules cricket.
Exploding chariots.
I mean, you do potentially have a problem too in that those balls sometimes get hit into the audience. Are you willing to sacrifice 20 supporters?
Are you supposed to have like screens and nets and stuff up?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe that's the solution.
But
maybe
it could be a tit for tat, you see, because in Blood Bowl as well, if you fall out of the pitch, you get beaten up by the fans and thrown back onto the pitch, you see. So then you can blow them up afterwards. Fair's fair.
Well, now we've sold sport.
Yes.
What should we do next?